This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Ready for ya. I still say the best thing Christian Arcan's done for this show so far over a month and a half, and by the way, it's a WEEI afternoon show here, 2 to 6, is come up with this open. He picked the song for this open, and I love it. It gives me a little boost of energy, like a Drake May touchdown pass every time I hear it coming out of a break. If you're watching on Twitch, you see that face is not Christian Arcand, and if you're listening on the radio, you know that this voice is not Christian Arcand. Christian Arcand, a little under the weather today. His throat broke from yelling at me about Jeremy Swayman and everything else that he yells at me about day after day.
I just don't trust this team being able to Elliot Wolf. I'm angry.
The trust the team part is very accurate. He says that about every team, the Patriots, the Red Sox. He doesn't trust anything these owners do, which, to be fair, there's some reason to question the trustworthiness of some of this ownership and leadership groups. But that voice you just heard was not Christian Arcand. It's Nick Fitzy Stevens. We have a little six rings pod duo here for the first couple hours this afternoon, and then Fitzy will pass the torch to old friend, old host here in this time slot, Megan Ottolini, fresh off a stint at Gillette Stadium, where she got some interesting audio from Pop Douglas. And I think that was interesting audio right there, Nick Fitzy Stevens. Gerard Mayo promising changes in this election season. 2 weeks to go until we make a change in the White House. And he is... 3 weeks to go?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 20 days and counting.
Son of a bitch. 3 weeks
and
to
also,
go.
And also, Andy, fascinating little nugget. The NFL, brazen, brash, and braggadocio-filled as they are, decided to keep, and I know we're going to talk to Adam Schefter about this later here in the 3 o'clock hour, but they decided to keep the freaking NFL trade deadline as November 5th.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you more interested in?
617-779. Yeah.
Trade deadline or White House?
Yeah. I think that's ridiculous. First of all, the NFL trade deadline is way too soon. Every other league has it at least two-thirds of the way through, if not three-quarters of the way through the season. They continue to just drop it halfway through the season. But you may have like a catastrophic injury in week 10 or week 11. Like, obviously, things worked out for them, and that's why I'll never be able to stop stabbing from hell's heart at Doug Peterson. But back in 2017, when Carson Wentz went down, don't you think they would have liked to have been able to just monitor the waivers or the market to see if they could have pulled in another quarterback? This happens to teams left, right, and all around. And if there's a roster anyone would possibly want to vulture from, if there's a late season injury, wouldn't it be the Patriots?
I'm not so sure how many players they'd want to vulture from the Patriots roster, because I'm not sure how good those players are and are they ready to join a chase for a postseason bid or potentially a Super Bowl run, because we've talked about this roster not that great. But anyway, even with a not great roster, Gerard Mayo is threatening changes. Gerard Mayo is threatening changes based on the mistakes, the penalties, the just undisciplined play from recent weeks, because they continue to beat home things in practice and in squad meetings on Saturday night, and then same old mistakes get made on Sunday. And last week it was a beaut, you know. I've really gotten to like, so they played six games this season. I believe two of them they've had a penalty on the opening kickoff because one player on that team didn't know the new kickoff rules where you can't move until the ball lands, and they tell
in
you
the
you
landing zone.
Yes, the landing zone.
The drop zone, whatever the hell the name of that Wesley Snipes movie was. Yeah, last week it was Taki Taki.
Yep.
Who had just come back on the roster. And
no
I
more Taki Taki.
I forget who the other one was. But
it was Del Pettis, I believe, earlier in the year, young defensive back.
Right, who's been pressed into more active duty given the injury, the rash of injuries and issues, if you will, at the safety position. But as far as what Mayo said, expecting more lineup changes.
And yeah.
We have to put the best team, put our best foot forward, best roster out there. Well, not necessarily, because sometimes your best lineup would be guys that won't be playing, but they're hurt or they're committing way too many penalties, and they're going to have to, like, and now there's more injuries this week as well. So there's no way possible that the New England Patriots anytime soon will be putting their best roster possible out there.
David Pastrnak is going to play for the Patriots?
No, it's dreaming big in the wide world of carbohydrates. Nothing's impossible, Andy. I'm talking like, you know, you got to put on Wenu back at right tackle because the tackle situation is just brutal at this point. As much as you see him as a guard, as much as you like him as a guard, you're probably going to have to kick on Wenu back out at right tackle. The left tackle situation, 6 games, 5 left tackles, 8 different offensive line combinations, is positively ghastly. I don't think there's anything I could watch on the Dork horror movie Rundown or the Max app later on tonight that'll be scarier than the thought of a different offensive line lineup going into week 7 this week. But they got to find a way to get some of the players that the Devon Godshows of the world have accused of taking time off or not being fully focused and committed out there. Like, that's your one job. Be focused, committed, and play your ass off.
So let me ask you a question. So you bring up a definite possibility that Mike Onwenu could bounce back out to right tackle. Demontre Jacobs was a penalty guy. Demontre Jacobs was a guy not making enough plays.
And he can bounce right back to the practice squad.
Yes, indeed. And they'll find somebody else on the practice squad or somebody else's practice squad that may or may not be any better, and they'll play this game all year long on the offensive line. Is that what you think it is, or do you think it runs deeper? Will there be more than that? Could we see more substantive or noticeable changes? Because, you know, the way he said it was almost like, I got to prove a point. You know, I got to prove these guys, we're 6 weeks in, they're not listening, so I got to prove a point. I don't think Mike Onwenu moving to right tackle really proves a point to anyone other than, I guess, Demontre Jacobs, but I don't think anybody else will care.
It proves a point to Drake May that they want to try not to get him killed.
Sure, but are there others? I know, and I wanted to go back because I don't believe Christian Ellis started last week, and he's a young linebacker that's been on the rise a little bit, and I wondered if he could enter the starting lineup because Gerard Mayo today was very harsh. Yeah, he did. Christian Ellis did not start last week. He's my prediction. I think Christian Ellis is going to start for Raekwon McMillan at linebacker this week.
He's had a tough go this year. He is not. I mean, I know the guy.
He's always
is
hurt.
Happy to have the gig, but he's missed 2 of the last 4 seasons with ACL injuries.
It takes
he's
a toll.
Always banged up. It does. There's a cumulative toll that this has taken on the guy, and maybe in this particular case, you just have to play somebody whose greatest ability is availability or health as well. Josh Uche, has not performed very well. He may have to take a seat. I'm not even sure if they have that many available defensive ends they could play in his place. You're going to see the secondary stressed even further now that Marcus Jones is dinged up, and of course you've got your safety issues. It's a problem everywhere. How about Antonio Gibson? Let me ask you this. People accused Antonio Gibson. Ramondre's dinged up again. I'm not even sure if he's going to travel, let alone play. So that would thrust Gibson possibly back into the RB1 role. Yet he was accused last week of kind of tap dancing at the line.
He looked like Danny Amendola on Dancing with the Stars back there. It was terrible.
Minus the bedazzled jersey.
And the hot woman with him.
Could you possibly see... I don't know. Could you possibly see Kevin Harris get a start? Or Terrell Jennings? Or
My guy Kevin Harris.
I know you've always loved... Can't spell legendary without leg day, which obviously he has never skipped.
His jeans, special
who knows?
Order.
I mean, why not? Why? And also, I'm with Brian Hines, who tweeted out a little while ago in response. I shared this with you in text on the break as well, but Brian Hines, who covers the Patriots for a couple different spots.
57 websites. Get it? Hines 57.
Hey, yeah, well done. He said that, he said, you know, why not this week, especially against the Jaguars, why not start Jaheim Bell and Javon Baker? Why not just see what you have in these guys? You know what you have in Austin Hooper already. KJ Osborne is we all know he's supposed to be a terrific person, save somebody from a burning car. However, he's not a very good NFL wide receiver.
Yeah, but that's not a change because he didn't play last week. He was dressed and did not play. He was an
HDNP, a healthy did not play.
Absolutely. DNP CD, coach's decision. Oof. You didn't go there, so I'm going to go there thanks to the text line, the 603. Sit Polk, P-O-L-K.
Wow.
And I don't necessarily disagree with it. And it's not just about the drops. It's not just Gerard Mayo discussing that he needs to get over this mental hurdle or whatever he said earlier in the week. Gerard Mayo brought up his blocking. And I've always thought, much like a running back, whether you're running well or not running well, if you're not pass protecting, it's the fastest way to get to the bench other than fumbling. A wide receiver, okay, are you catching the ball anyway? You're getting open, whatever. But if you're not blocking, if you're not putting in the effort, and blocking is like defense in basketball, it's really about want to. It's about effort. And if Polk is not putting in the effort blocking, I would absolutely bench his butt and take him off the field because he has not contributed anything. And I also don't feel like I have to give up anything, right? We have DeMario Douglas, we have Booty, and we have Kendrick Bourne.
Who's playing very well. Kendrick Bourne is waiting for his moment. That's why maybe you put a big guy like Baker out there in a game that we're expecting a lot of points because you have the 28th ranked defense against the 32nd ranked defense. Like, that's usually when points score. These are crowd pleasers, Andy. This is like $2 pitcher night. It's not going to be a great beer, but guess what? There's going to be plenty of it served.
I like your plan for post show tonight for Andy and his family. Cheap beer is for me because we talked about earlier. I'm cheap. 617-779-7937. We'll continue to take your calls talking Patriots. If you have any predictions as who's going to get benched this week, is it a simple moving of Mike Onwenu back to right tackle? Is Polk on the potential cutting block, one of the linebackers? Could we see 4, 5, 6 different guys as Gerard Mayo tries to find a lineup that might be able to win in London? Do you want them to win in London? And we'll also look into potential and upside for this Patriots offense. That's right. We're going to do a 325-ish positive segment about the Patriots, thanks to Pop Douglas, who feels a little something brewing in the Patriots offense. 617-779-7937. This is the afternoon show on WEEI, and this is Stiz with What's Trending.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
Stiz is hitting all the sweet spots with the rejoins this afternoon. LL Cool J, Johnny Cash.
Jumbo Heart, big LL fan.
Love LL. Love LL Cool J.
Who do you love? Ladies love Jumbo Heart.
Damn right. That's why I wear my sweatpants one leg up.
That's going. I'm just gonna nip that one in the bud right now.
Ladies love Jumbo. It's very simple. LLJ, Jumbo Heart. That's Nick Fitzy Stevens. This is the WEEI afternoon program, as they say in college football in the SEC. No Christian Arcand, because he got a sore throat today and he couldn't find any lozenges to make it to a studio with him, so he couldn't talk. I am Andy Jumbo Heart. I slid into this host one seat, and you know what I'm finding out? Other than the stupid call screener, not that hard. You actually can have a lot of fun from this chair. You can guide the conversation. You can fight with people on the Twitch chat. You can yell at Fitzy. You can look at text. You can kind of do it all. The more you can do, that's what they used to say in New England.
That's right.
Now it's like, can you do anything? If you can do anything, I'll find a spot on this team for you. The old days, it was the more you can do. We've really, really turned things around with these silo-free days under Gerard Mayo. One in five.
Silo-free stuff. It's honest to God. Whatever happened to just like having a job? Just like, this is what you do. Here we go. I'm going to compartmentalize this over here. You guys do this. You do that. We'll all bring it together. We'll make for a team. Honestly.
Okay, so we're spinning this positive. We've been talking a lot about, do you want the Patriots to win on Sunday? Which was the question, despite what one response on Twitter said.
They're professional athletes. Of course they'll try to win.
Didn't ask you that. I said, what do you want to happen? I expect every player that takes the field for both teams to try to win the game. Some of them don't have enough talent to help sway their team's efforts to winning the game, but I think they will all try to win the game. The question is, as a fan, do you want them to win the game? But we're spinning it positive here. This is a positive segment because it's what I'm all about. You know me, Fitzy. Optimistic Andy. 0-17 Heart. Yep, damn right. I want the number one pick. I want all those things. But Pop Douglas said something about the sky can be the limit and the opportunities, the young playmakers. He was very positive in his comments about Kayshon Booty and how he has brought his work ethic and his maturity to just a totally different level this year, and how excited he was to see his friend and his teammate get in the end zone just before he got in the end zone. They both got their first career touchdowns. Okay, we're all celebrating. We get young receivers making plays with a young quarterback. I don't know if the sky's the limit. That seems a little cliche and a little optimistic. But is this offense legitimately on the uptick? Is this offense legitimately one where you're not going to wonder, I wonder if they'll score, 15 points this week. Is this going to become an offense where we actually expect each and every week, they're going to find the end zone with a passing touchdown. They're going to score a few more points. Hell, 23, 25, 27 points is a possibility. If things go right, maybe they could get into the 30s. Are we on the cusp of that type of optimism? Whether it leads to winning or not, I don't know. But are we on the cusp of that type of optimism with this offense? And is it truly just about 1-0 Drake May stepping into the lineup?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, they have 11 games remaining. Looking at the schedule right now, I can see over half the games where the Patriots could easily score well into the 20s. And yes, sometimes it does just matter that it's just one person. Like small thing, great things sometimes come from humble beginnings. And all it takes is one person to lead an uprising as well. Like that one, it's not like we're talking about a guard that was like, oh, here comes this great player. It's a quarterback. As we've often said, the most important position in all four North American professional sports as well. Sunday, absolutely, they should score well into the 20s. Titans, Rams, Dolphins, Cardinals, Colts, maybe even one of the two games against the Bills, depending on how things shake out.
Let's go.
They could easily score into the 20s. Like, you may be looking at a world now where a couple of players, like during the commercial break, I just put some fab bids some free agency budget bids in a couple of fantasy leagues on Patriots players that were just lingering on the waivers for weeks at a time.
Wait a minute. Who did you bid on that's on the Patriots?
Pop Douglas.
That's not bad. Is it PPR?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't hate that because I think Pop Douglas PPR, you're going to see consistent throws. I think Drake May likes him. And if Drake May cleans up the accuracy on the crossers, you know, Drake May pulled out his favorite cliche again today. Pop can get open in a phone booth. And it's like, Drake, do you know what a phone booth is? We can get one of those red ones over in London.
Like, that's one of those things where it's like the cliche has existed forever.
Right.
Even though the item that the cliche is based on has not.
Right.
Happy as a clam.
What the hell does that mean? Well, I don't see any clams. I'm in the city of Boston.
When has a clam ever expressed its emotional contentment?
How do you know a clam's happy or sad? How do you measure
it?
It
just sits there until someone opens it up and rips its guts out.
But see, that's interesting. I do think there is reason for optimism. I think the sky's a limit is another cliche. Like, I don't really believe the sky is the limit. I think they have some limitations. It's the offensive line. It's the overall depth and talent of their playmakers and defenses they face. All of those things are going to be issues for them. But I do think you're going to see a arrow moving upward from what you saw in the first four or five games of the season, where it was no fun, sir. It was the worst football game we've all ever witnessed against the Dolphins. Two inept offenses doing battle. And those baby steps, honestly, are what this is about. It's why last Sunday, when everybody was like, is this how far we've fallen that we're celebrating Drake May in a 20-point loss?
Yeah. We're okay with 20-point losses now. Like, we've normalized the idea of the other team, a visiting team, doubling up the score at Gillette, a place where the Patriots have lost 10 of their last 11, haven't, you know, all this. Actually, because everything has been recalibrated, folks. You used to not live in reality. Our new reality is that we have made our way back to the middle of the pack, and now we have touched the bottom. And the only way to find your way back to the top, or at least start diving towards or springing towards the top, is to touch bottom. And the team is doing that right now. But the one person, the one role on a team where somebody can try to lead you back, it's by far the quarterback. And I ask now, Andy, as we heard about Gerard Mayo saying last week, renewed energy in the building, in the huddle, in practice, with Drake May being out there. And we talked Sunday about most important person in the Patriots organization was Drake May. Number two was going to be Alex Van Pelt. To turn it that way, instead of criticizing Elliott Wolf for the offensive line or saying we don't like what we've seen from Alex Van Pelt's play calling thus far, let me try to spin it positively. Now, given the physical talents and abilities we've seen from Drake May, do you think Alex Van Pelt gets more creative with his play calling?
God, I hope so, and I know Drake May hopes so, and Drake May thinks he's going to. He mentioned that a little bit today, but he needs to. You have an athlete back there. You have a guy that, yes, Trent Green, you could have designed runs. You can have some zone reads where he keeps the ball and moves up the field with his feet and slides or dives or runs out of bounds. And I do hope Alex Van Pelt will take those opportunities and literally and figuratively run with them. If you're watching on Twitch right now, you see 617-779-7937. You also see 37937. So Nick Fitzy Stevens from the Fitz Studio, I'm going to give you the dealer's choice option. Do you want to go to the phone lines or the text line? Because I'm going to let you decide.
We haven't spoken to somebody in a couple few minutes. Let's go back to the phones.
Ah, damn. I wanted to read a good Andy Hart text. But okay, we'll go to the phones. We'll get to that text about me later. It's always about me when I'm in the one seat. Let's go to Matt in Charlestown. He wants to talk about the Patriots, who have a massive, potentially franchise-altering game Sunday in London. Matt, what's up?
Hey, I just wanted to say that this guy is a moron because he's making such bad decisions before the cops even pulled him over. I mean, this guy's a professional athlete. I mean, doesn't he realize that if you get pulled over while smoking, it's the same thing as a DUI? Hmm. This guy, like, where's his brain? They don't call it dope for no reason.
Thanks for the call, Matt.
I take umbrage with that.
Well, you know, he did something a little dopey.
Why is that, Stanley?
because I may or may not partake in the flower.
Well, lots of people do. Some of the smartest people I know do. Some of the most professional, whatever, adhering to laws and all that.
No, 100%.
That's not his issue. The dope ain't the issue. It's the dope that got out of the car after smoking the dope and the way he acted like a dope, right?
Catch more flies with honey than vinegar.
That was well said by somebody earlier in the show. 617-779-7937. We'll stick with the phone lines because Nick Fitzy Stevens, he's a man of the people, despite that highbrow hair or whatever you want to call it that he's sporting on your computer screen right now. So we will go back to the phone lines to Cotto in Boston. Wants to talk Patriots. Cotto, what's up?
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
What's up, buddy?
So basically, look, I mean, we have a team that's obviously at the bottom, but like you said, you got to find your way to the top. And just to start, you know, you got some pretty decent players. Drake May, DeMario Douglas, Ramondre Stevenson. I think the important thing is going to be, you know, if Alex Van Pelt shows you throughout these next couple of games that he's not the guy to get the offense going, obviously it's going to be, you know, getting a new coordinator, perhaps somebody young who can adapt to today's NFL, who can let Drake May play his game. Drake May can run. Okay, put some running plays in there. We started the game last week with, I believe, two terrible runs and then two terrible play calls to send us into a punt. We can't be doing that. So, okay, it was his first game with Drake May. We give him that excuse. In the offseason, obviously, we need a better O-line, but we need a veteran presence. We need somebody to come in here, teach these young guys what to do, and somebody who's good, a real number one receiver, a good offensive lineman, somebody that's going to come in and up things, because the way that we've been trending has just been going down up until last week where we got Drake May into the game.
Thanks for the call, Cotto. Why can't I get rid of Cotto? Bye, Cotto. Thanks, Stiz.
I got it.
Welcome back anytime, Cotto. He has a good point.
There's no way you just took your time to try to make that joke.
Well, I couldn't figure out how to drop him. The hardest part of this job is this stupid computer and this
back,
mouse.
Welcome back, Cotto.
I somehow locked him on. What did I do there, Stiz? I had him locked on.
You may
on
have
the
hit
air.
The button twice. Don't worry.
It happens. Button. Anyway, he brings
Jim
up a good
Cotto.
Point. Because if we're talking about optimistic trends, and we're talking about the quarterback is more optimistic, we're talking about receivers feel optimistic with DeMario Douglas and Kayshon Boutte finding the end zone, and we're talking about the offensive line even trending slightly optimistic because Ben Brown comes in and he looks like a really good center and you're kind of finding some guys maybe. I think that puts a lot of focus on one Alex Van Pelt because the optimism needs to be nurtured, needs to be magnified. And I think his relationship with Drake May and this offense is going to be the most critical thing moving forward this season beyond Drake May's development. And obviously they're tied together because I do think you're going to have a meeting after the year because six games in, I don't know about you, Fitzgerald. I haven't been in love with Alex Van Pelt. I just haven't been. And I think
I'm not even sure if I'm at hard like.
Okay, you're not at hard like. You don't even like. You didn't check yes or no, as the old George Strait song would go. You're not checking yes just yet. I think you have to have that conversation and check yes or no. Do you want to keep him long term? Because if you keep him, now I kind of want to keep him for a few years because I don't want to upset the apple cart with Drake May. If I'm going to do that, I want to rip the Band-Aid off and do it as fast as possible. And I'll add one layer to this, and you can chime in on this. If the Giants move on from Brian Daboll and he's out there, does he kind of become that Mike Vrabel to Gerard Mayo where you have another option available that's alluring to Patriots fans? Would Patriots fans want to replace Alex Van Pelt with potentially Brian Daboll? Or another name I'll throw in there, Fitzy, how about his former boss? If you want to run the Kevin Stefanski offense and Kevin Stefanski gets fired by the Browns,
that would be criminal.
Could you bring in Kevin Stefanski to run the Kevin Stefanski offense?
Oh, that poor man. You want to talk about just absolutely being placed in the worst of circumstances, in shackles that you of no design. Like, that poor guy is just being... The dude has won Coach of the Year two of the last 4 years. Now, all of a sudden, he forgot how to coach because he has the single worst quarterback in the NFL who is only getting worse by the week, and now he's forced to trade away one of his best wide receivers. He's only now getting RB1 back, and he's going to be limited and compromised as well. Disastrous. Daboll, Brian Daboll is about one of the only, if maybe not the only guy that I would be willing to say, Alex, it's been real. You did a good job. You did the best you could given what you had. And we didn't give you a whole lot more to work with other than the quarterback. But my plan right now would be to stick with Van Pelt. I would give Van Pelt, we all think Gerard Mayo is going to be here for at least 3 years.
Yes.
I'd give Van Pelt 2 because he's starting only halfway, a third of the way into the season with Drake May right now. And he does not have much else to work with now. You're seeing now that they're creating almost open competitions along some of the more pivotal parts of the offense with the offensive line. Ben Brown is our best offensive lineman. Yeah, but you signed him 5 days ago. That's not great. That doesn't reflect well on Mayo. And especially Elliott Wolf, you have to give the guy a little more time to try to open up his worldview, open his playbook, and work with his new QB1. I can't see parting ways with him after the first year. Like, that's going down that dysfunctional path of really now starting to do what people were so afraid of, Andy, which is getting in the quarterback's head and screwing with his development.
And as Alex Van Pelt knows, you can't please everybody all of the time. You know who knows that as well? Me. Because I'm just going to take a quick sampling of back-to-back texts on the text line. We got a good one from the 774. Andy, you are always the number one seat. I listen because I like your points and your humor.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Don't worry, Fitzy. If you don't like that one, if you think that's fluffing me up a little too much, the very next line.
Jesus Christ, Andy Hart is so annoying.
Back-to-back texts.
But that's it. Okay, you know what? Little behind-the-scenes radio for everybody. They tell you at seminars. The clinics, teachers, mentors, etc., they always say, in addition to what you just said, which is a classic line from Bill Cosby, I don't know the key to success, but I know the key to failure is trying to please all the people all the time. They always tell you in radio that you can't be beloved by everyone.
Right.
If everyone is agreeing with you, if everyone likes you, you're not doing it right. You have to actually find a way to create dialogue and discourse and debate and disagree with people. And that's actually kind of healthy. Sorry, this is not fan service radio, even coming from Fanboy USA over here, who tries to be as Patriots positive as possible.
That is Nick Fitzy Stevens. This is the WEEI afternoon program. We are rolling through 6 o'clock. Up next, one of our favorite guests each and every week. He will have information on Tom Brady, Devontae Adams, and everything going on in the NFL. That is ESPN's Adam Schefter joining the afternoon program next. It is Wednesday at 3:45 here on the WEEI afternoon show, and that is not a time check. That's a Schefter check, because each and every week we get a visit from ESPN's Adam Schefter. That is brought to you by Liberty Bank and Cullman. It's electric. Mr. Schefter, we have some early trades in the National Football League. This is your time of year. I guess all year is really your time of year. This NFL calendar never stops. But what was your reaction to the Devontae Adams trade that everyone thought was coming? And do you think Devontae Adams can fix everything that ails Aaron Rodgers and the Jets?
Well, I don't think he can fix everything, but it's certainly a step in the right direction here. For them to go out and get a weapon like him, that's a good thing, I think. And it's a situation where you have the sides trying to get something done for a while. They've been at it. They get it done. He comes in. He's going to play Sunday night against the Pittsburgh Steelers and make his Jets debut. Nice. And so that'll be a boost to the Jets offense. But, you know, it's a flawed roster right now. They haven't played great. Can one wide receiver make that much of a difference? I think he's going to improve the team, absolutely. But it's hard for me to imagine that going from a 2-4 team to like just this dominant team, one guy. If he can, man, that's going to be impressive.
Adam, I'm curious, in all the talk you have with GMs, scouts, owners, etc., just for us here in Patriots Nation, what have you heard in terms of league-wide chatter and reaction to Drake May's debut? His potential on the Patriots and how this may start the turnaround for the organization?
Well, again, I think we saw some of the skills that people knew about on Sunday. And there were a lot of good things that you want to see. But when you see a rookie quarterback, you're always going to get things that he still has to work on, improve, grow into. But there, I mean, you saw the talent on display there. And he should get better each week he plays, ideally. I'm sure there'll be some setbacks along the way as well. But that talent was on display. If you talk to the people there, I mean, they felt like he was the more dynamic quarterback in the summer. They just didn't want to subject him to the NFL defenses right away. They wanted to give him some time. They gave him some time. I think in a perfect world, they would have given him more time, but it wasn't a perfect world they were living in. And I think everybody saw him play on Sunday, and we'll get to watch him this Sunday in London, could see the talent. And now you just want to see that continue to grow and improve.
Adam, we see the Adams trade. We see the Amari Cooper trade. And I think from a Patriots perspective, fans look at it and say, I want my team to be in on a trade for a wide receiver. Do you think there's any chance, the one that I think a lot of fans have targeted is T. Higgins in Cincinnati. They haven't started the year the way they wanted. He's on the franchise tag, could hit free agency next year. Is there any chance a guy like T. Higgins, if the Bengals lose a couple more games, could get traded this year?
You know, here's what I would say to that. Number one, it would be un-Bengal-like for them to make that kind of trade. I know they're 2-4 right now, but the schedule is, and I'm going to read it to you, at Cleveland, winnable. Home for Philadelphia, winnable. Home for Vegas, winnable. At Baltimore, tough. At the Chargers, tough. Bye. Finish home Pittsburgh, at Dallas, at Tennessee, home Cleveland, home Denver. It's not exactly a daunting schedule.
Yeah.
So trading T. Higgins would be an acknowledgement that you're giving up on the season.
Yeah.
I don't think they're in position to do that right now. I don't see that.
Any other receivers that might be available? Like DK Metcalf's another one. People see him getting frustrated in Seattle. Yeah. Who are the next receivers, big-time, number one type receivers, that might be available?
Well, I think you look in Carolina first. Carolina works. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to think right now, like other receivers that have been out there that have been talked about. Carolina's the one, DeAndre Hopkins, if that interests you. I don't know how much interest there is in DeAndre Hopkins right now. Mm-hmm. Are you talking about for New England, or are you talking about in general?
For New England, there's this obviously theory that they need to get Drake May a number one receiver somehow, some way, whether that's free agency, the draft, or trade.
I don't know that trading for a receiver at the deadline is the optimal time to do that. Maybe if the price is right, but I don't see too many teams auctioning off a one. You know, by the way, T. Higgins, you can't even re-sign him anyway. So if Cincinnati was trading for him, somebody would have to give up enough to make them want to do it. And then, not only that, but he can't sign a long-term extension during the season. That deadline's already passed.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right? So I don't see the T. Higgins. I see Carolina. Like, Deontay Johnson's in the last year of his deal. Adam Thielen's a veteran. Jonathan Mingo's a former second-round draft pick. Those make sense to me.
Adam, are there any players on the Patriots you've heard other teams discuss as possible trade targets? Obviously, the Patriots need to stockpile as many draft picks as possible. They let go of Matthew Judon earlier in the year for a third round, before the season started, for a third rounder. There could be some players that could help people make playoff pushes or chase rings. Are there any that you've heard about or could identify?
Well, you know, what's interesting to me is that we saw the timeline on some of this stuff pick up. Like, you don't see trades get done this early, 3 weeks out, like big trades like that. That's an accelerated timeline. And so, you know, the trading period is already underway, and I think you're going to start to see what happens in the next couple of weeks help determine which teams are buyers and sellers at the trade deadline. So, to your point, like, you're bringing up the Bengals, I don't see them as sellers no matter what. It's not their nature. Their schedule is friendly. They have too much talent. I don't see it. But a team like Carolina, the Cleveland Browns are interesting to watch. What about the Los Angeles Rams, depending on what happens? But here's the thing. You have to remember, when teams are sellers, they're not just giving away players. I mean, that's not what this is about. You know, everybody's trying to field the best team possible, competitive. And so, like, you heard people this week with the Lions losing Aiden Hutchinson, go trade for Myles Garrett or Max Crosby. Sure. I'm sure teams are in the market to trade away future Hall of Fame players for picks. Like, that's not happening. I don't care how much those teams are losing. They're not trading Max Crosby. You're just not going to do that, and not going to trade Myles Garrett, no matter how much those teams don't win up to the deadline.
Adam, speaking of the Raiders, those are now Tom Brady's Raiders now that his ownership bid went through. Two-part question here. Do you think him becoming part owner, minority owner with the Raiders, will affect his broadcast career? Do you think that may have him stepping away? No. Okay, quick no there. Now,
No. And by the way, like, you know, I think people have pointed out, like, Tom knows enough about football. Like, okay, so maybe he can't go to practice. Do you think he needs to go to the practice to see that a player has certain tendencies or habits or how they're playing on film? If you do enough work studying the film, you can figure it out for yourself. You don't need to see the practice. Would it be great to see that, oh, yeah, in this particular game, they'd like to emphasize getting the ball to this player, or they like to run? Or okay, fine, great. I would like to think that Tom Brady is experienced and savvy enough to figure out what's going on. He's going to study enough tape to go into that game prepared. And, like, what are we talking about? Teams that paranoid that they don't trust him, like they think that he's going to turn around and say, oh, Mark Davis, Antonio Pierce, Tom Phillips, you're not going to believe this, but they're planning double reverses. And like, I mean, what are we, like, how old are we?
So right? What,
like, Tom Brady is a professional. He's a professional.
So what do you think his impact will be on the Raiders? Is he just going to be, you know, an advisor, a consultant, or will we see sort of an imprint of Tom Brady joining that organization?
Well, I, you know, Mark Davis talked yesterday how he wants to lean on Tom Brady for quarterback evaluations, to have Tom Brady work with the quarterback that they draft in 2025. It's no secret the Raiders want a quarterback. Now, I'll say this. As smart and savvy as Tom is, that doesn't mean that guarantees success. Like, again, I could think of having covered the Broncos, being in Denver, and John Elway, who is as good a quarterback as there was. He used his first few draft picks on quarterbacks. When he was picking quarterbacks, he chose Brock Osweiler. He chose Paxton Lynch. He bypassed Josh Allen, who he later said was his greatest regret as GM. So just because you played the quarterback at the highest of high levels doesn't mean that you could assess the quarterback market at the highest of high levels. There's a difference there. Now, do I think that Tom would be an invaluable asset to whichever quarterback the Raiders decide is the future? Absolutely. I mean, why would you not want to hang around the greatest to do it and learn everything you can? But we don't know that Tom Brady is going to be able to identify the next great quarterback in the NFL. I don't know that. No, I don't think anybody knows that.
He is Adam Schefter. He is a guy that knows everything in the National Football League. And based on our conversation, I'm going to go study the Panthers' depth chart and see if the Patriots can go down there and poach somebody from Carolina to make their team better. We will talk to Adam next Wednesday again at 3:45. Adam, thanks for joining us.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much, Andy and Nick. Have a great day.
See ya.
You as well, Adam. Thank you.
So he really sold me on the Panthers are going to trade a wide receiver. He really emphasized, he kept going back to Carolina.
Oh, now, Deontay Johnson is just, I mean, he is out there dangling for a team.
Yeah, but I don't want him.
Deontay Johnson to the Chiefs would make all the sense in the world. The Patriots, and I understand what Adam is talking about. And I also, by the way, you know, we only have 10 minutes to chat with him. Couldn't disagree more with the whole idea. Like, we all know Tom Brady has seen more on the football field. He's got all the answers to the test. I do happen to think that if you are the lead analyst on the top football broadcast every week, that it would be good to be able to get in the building, see some things. Tom Brady will be the first person to tell you that things are practice speed and actually getting out there and doing it is different than just what you see on tape. It looks different in person. Like, I think this whole Brady as an analyst and now Brady as an owner thing, the compromise therein that's being allowed and that Fox is just eating this almost $500 million deal is absurd. I think it's actually a slap in the face of most football fans. And this is coming from somebody who loves Tom Brady and named a child after him, for God's sakes. It's so silly. It is so silly. Pick a lane. Do one or the other.
I actually thought the speed with which Schefter shot that down was telling. I thought that was really interesting, the way he pounced on that to say
and
no.
He's a Michigan guy, too, though.
I would also tell Schefter that if you want proof of the value of production meetings, there is no more proof than when Tom Brady told NBC and Chris Collinsworth, I'm the most miserable 8-0 quarterback in the history of football. Chris Collinsworth wouldn't have had that if he wasn't allowed in the production meeting with Tom Brady, right? Like, there was information shared that you couldn't have seen from afar, because from afar the Patriots were rolling and undefeated and all these things. So there is value in visiting the facility. There is value in talking to players and going to production meetings. And quite honestly, Tom Brady is not great at the color commentary thing. So if you continue to limit his ability to do a good job, to do a $37 million a year job, if I'm Fox, I wouldn't mind so much if Tom Brady was like, yeah, I'm not going to be able to see out this contract. I'm an owner now. I'm going to work with quarterbacks with the Raiders, and I'm going to go do some things in Las Vegas. If I were Fox, I'd be okay with it. Nick Fitzy-Stevens, appreciate you stopping by. This was a fun couple hours. It was like an extended Six Rings pod. Appreciate you filling in where Christian Arcan couldn't because he got a boo-boo on his throat. Nick, we will talk to you next on, what, tomorrow night? You'll be on the airwaves, right?
That's right. I'll be on tomorrow night with Scheimer on the evening program. You and I will have a preview podcast looking at Jags and Patriots on the Six Rings feed. As always, and I said it once and I'll say it again, Patriots, money line, and hammer the over. Have a Merry Christmas, everybody.
The hammered man, or usually hammered man, says hammer the over. Take that advice. He comes from a family of gambling experts, and you will be the winner. You will get the money in the end, and you'll get the money in the end if you keep listening to the afternoon program here on WEEI, because we have a very, very special guest host for the next couple hours. We're switching gears. No Arcan, no problem, because we got Mego next couple hours here on WEEI in the afternoon. Take the points, lose the game.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.